Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game. I love being first on something. I love when I see a clip on Twitter of HBO's The Shop season preview with Tom Brady taking a veiled shot at some other quarterback and thinking, okay, this is going to be a topic for us. It was a topic on Monday. ESPN yesterday was talking about it. ESPN today was talking about it. And so when I heard it, Ian, if you could get the clip again, this was Brady. This is a preview, a tease, a great tease by HBO's The Shop. Brady is going to do his talk on Friday. That's going to be released. I promise you, I already know the answer. He's not going to tell you who it is. He's not going to tell you. So the idea that you should watch to see who he's going to tell, he's not going to tell you. But this is what Brady said.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother.
Okay. And so I thought perhaps that could be Tannehill. Because I felt like Brady's first desire would have been to be here. His first choice was here. I believe that. Now, a lot of people said a lot of different things. And I will say this. I thought 85% it was Tannehill. And I'm not one who subscribes to groupthink very much. Well, everybody else says this, so it must be that. But I'm watching ESPN. And I'm like, and I know how ESPN works. Floyd told me this. And I don't know if you noticed this when you worked there too. Mm-hmm. But basically, they would be sitting there for NFL Live. And it would be like, okay, who's going to win the NFC East today? And it's like, okay, well, I think the Eagles, you think the Eagles, and she thinks the Eagles. Okay, well, one of y'all's got to not pick the Eagles.
Yeah, it's premeditated. There's a reason why they don't agree.
Okay. So, I just assumed somebody was going to throw Tannehill into the mix. So, the first time watching First Take, Max Kellerman, Damian Woody, Stephen A., surely one of the three is going to be Tannehill. And I heard, now we've already talked about Garoppolo at length, mm-hmm. and everybody seems to think it's Garoppolo. Max Kellerman, this is what Max Kellerman said, he does think that that shot Brady took was at Garoppolo.
I'm looking right at the Niners. Like, you know, where's Tom Brady from? What team gives him a chance to win right away? And who might a team reasonably say, yeah, we see you, Brady, but we like our guy. It couldn't have been Drew Locke. I just can't see it. I can't see Derek Carr either. But Jimmy G, that would make some sense. They got to a Super Bowl with Jimmy G, but clearly, you know, if he hits it, play design was perfect. He hits an open receiver and they win the Super Bowl. But then again, maybe they were looking at Jimmy G at the time saying, yeah, it was, you know, next time he'll hit the open receiver. We can get and maybe win a Super Bowl with Jimmy G. And given the fact that the Patriots wanted to move on from Tom Brady for Jimmy G, maybe they felt the same way. And then Brady is looking like, hold up, this is happening again? Didn't you just see that he's not good enough? This is happening to me again. And maybe that's where it comes from. I'm looking at the Niners and Jimmy G.
Okay, so that's the obvious one off the board, right?
It makes sense.
But it's like the most obvious.
It's obvious.
Okay. So then Damian Woody. I'm like, surely Damian Woody. Okay, now that Jimmy G's off the board, Tannehill has to be next, right? That network, those guys spent hours and hours of their lives making, in the case of Max Kellerman, seven figures. In the case of Damian Woody, I'm guessing mid to high six figures. Hours of their day talking about Tannehill and Brady. And here's what Damian Woody said.
I thought it was either one or two people. I thought either Derek Carr or Drew Locke, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos. Because remember, Brady had talked about, there was a lot of speculation of him wanting to play out west, you know, after he left New England. So, you know, the Raiders and the Broncos are the two franchises that I was thinking about.
Okay. What? Drew Locke? When did Drew Locke? Now, we talked about Carr being a possibility here. I'm not convinced Brady wanted to go to Vegas. Like, I think Brady wanted to go to Vegas the same level he wanted to go to Tampa Bay, which was, I don't really want to go to Tampa Bay. I don't really want to go to Vegas, but if there's nowhere else, like, I'm going there over going back to New England. And then I think it came down to the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Bucks, and Brady picked the Bucks. That's what I think. I could be wrong. But Drew Locke?
Tom Brady's not coming for Drew Locke. Drew Locke is a baby. So Brady has no business calling him an MF-er.
In fact, Dan Graziano, Ian, if you got it, Dan Graziano, today, when they were discussing it with a different panel, Dan Graziano is the only one to even mention Ryan Tannehill's name, and listen to the way in which they dismissed that this could have been Tannehill. Take a listen.
I'm going back to last March, and we're like, which teams seem like they're going to be interested? At the end, the only two teams that were serious were Tampa Bay and the Chargers. They both made offers, similar if not identical offers, and Brady picked Tampa Bay's. But, you know, look, San Francisco was poking around on it. That's his hometown team, and we know he has a history with the starting quarterback there in terms of at least being competitive with him. Tennessee was a team that was brought up. I think the Raiders were involved on some level. So, yeah, we can have all kinds of speculation we want about who he's talking about, but there's no doubt that RC's point is correct. Tom Brady is feeling himself in a way that I think any of us would want to be if we were in his position.
Okay. All they said was, you know, Tennessee was brought up, and that was no mention of the Brady-Vrabel FaceTime at the Syracuse basketball game. So I am not a group thinker. Like, I am not, I think everyone would probably agree with that, right? Like, I'm perhaps.
I think you're maybe sometimes an anti-group thinker.
Sure. I don't try to be, just natural.
Right.
Nobody's bringing up Tannehill? Like, again, not to sit back and say, well, if nobody's bringing up Tannehill, but nobody is bringing up the possibility that he's talking about Ryan Tannehill. Does that mean that it's not Ryan Tannehill?
No, no. It doesn't mean that it's not Ryan Tannehill, because you have to think about which teams were involved late in the game. The Titans were involved late in the game, so it very much so does make sense. There was another name not mentioned other than Ryan Tannehill that I've heard some rumblings about.
Well, this was like a QAnon theory, you know,
Yes.
This one was crazy. Like, this was like...
Well, this is what Jeff Darlington said.
And Darlington is, not to dismiss the, you know... I just called it a QAnon theory, which is, as, you know, means that it's, you know, as wild as it can be. Darlington is in Brady's camp. Darlington is in Brady's pocket.
Yes.
So, maybe this lends some credence to it. Go ahead.
Jeff Darlington said, I'm going to say it as clear as day. It's the New Orleans Saints. Regret might be a strong word because ultimately Drew Brees decided to delay his broadcasting career and come back for one more season. The Saints did the right thing by bringing Brees back. But I think that people still underestimate how close Tom Brady was to signing with the New Orleans Saints up until he ultimately decided on the Bucs. I know that's going to be a statement people try to question. It's the truth.
Ian, what's our rule about Jeff Darlington?
We trust him.
And where do we trust him specifically?
New England.
And who specifically?
I guess Brady.
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 Brady. I mean, so he's taking the pot shot at Drew Brees?
See,
my apologies to the calling it a QAnon conspiracy theory, because if Darlington says it, that Dan Graziano clip we just played back, Dan, what do you think he's talking about?
He's feeling himself.
Well, he's feeling himself. That's not an answer, Dan. That's not, what are you thinking? This is Jeff Darlington.
Jeff Darlington.
Saying it's the Saints.
And I find it so hard to believe. I mean, I don't know Tom Brady or Drew Brees on a personal level, but what you can assume is that Tom Brady and Drew Brees are kind of close.
Like, they spent all that time on the field.
All the time on the field, and their kids are friends, and they've been in the league for a long time. Like, I think they're friends, so I don't know if Jeff Darlington is right, and it is about Drew Brees. I don't know if it was kind of like a jab at Drew Brees, like a friendly little banter. But the Saints didn't stick with Drew Brees. Drew Brees stuck with the Saints. I mean, Drew Brees could have been in New Orleans as long as he wanted.
I know, but, like, it does take two to dance.
Well, yes, of course, but I don't think it was Drew Brees, but comes from a reputable source.
Okay, again, read that Darlington to me again. And is this a quote tweet of anything, or is this just Darlington saying it?
This is Darlington said.
Okay. What did Darlington say again?
I'm going to say it as clear as day. He said this on Get Up on Tuesday.
Oh, hold on. Ian, please play the HBO The Shop clip again, just leading into this, which I put Ian on the spot for, but I think it's interesting to hear this and then go to Darlington.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what Brady said, the teaser on HBO The Shop.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Jeff Darlington said on Tuesday on Get Up, I'm going to say it as clear as day. It's the New Orleans Saints. Regret might be a strong word because ultimately Drew Brees decided to delay his broadcasting career and come back for one more season. The Saints did the right thing by bringing Brees back. But I think that people still underestimate how close Tom Brady was to signing with the New Orleans Saints up until he ultimately decided on the Bucs. I know that's going to be a statement that people try to question. It's the truth.
Oh, Darlington's not telling the truth.
Yeah.
So it's Brees. It's Brees. When I hear that from that guy, it's Brees.
It's the truth.
It's Brees.
Period.
I mean, that is as definitive as a statement as you will hear a reporter make. A guy that we have said on this show, unquestionably now we trust, because he came on this show and said, yeah, Brady's going to leave New England.
Uh-huh.
And we were skeptical, and we like Darlington, but we were skeptical. And now he's saying it is the truth. He's talking about Drew Brees. What do we make of that?
He says, I'm going to say it as clear as day. It's the New Orleans Saints.
I mean, we talked the other day about whether or not Brady thinks Tannehill sucks. If he thinks Brees sucks, what's that tell you about what he thinks of Tannehill?
Yeah, that's a little scary.
I mean, that is wow.
Yeah.
And in all fairness to Tom, he got the last laugh because he knocked Drew Brees out. Wow.
And I mean, imagine being the New Orleans Saints and the 2020 offseason. Are we going to go with Drew Brees or Tom Brady? That's a really tough decision.
Was it discussed like that? I mean this with all seriousness. Was it discussed like that in New Orleans at that level?
I don't know. You know, I'm not a Saints insider. I think that the Saints knew that no matter what.
Like on this show, every day was Brady and Tannehill.
Yeah, I think it was like, if Drew wants to stay, he can stay kind of thing. I don't think that they would have said, hey, Drew, sorry, we're going to part ways with you and go with Tom Brady.
As a Saint fan, if you had been given the opportunity of Brady or Brees at that time, who would you have taken?
I mean, I can say it now because Brady just won a Super Bowl. In retrospect, I would have taken Brady.
And beat the Saints.
Yeah. At the time, I would have said Drew Brees. Drew Brees, people in New Orleans love Drew Brees. The Saints love Drew Brees.
So what do we think? It's not Tannehill. It's Brees. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. And a second part. Do I owe Tannehill an apology? Do I owe Tannehill an apology for assuming that Brady thinks that he sucks? 615-737-1025. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game, or streaming on the Game Nashville app.
It's instructive to remind everyone of where we were a year ago March. The idea of signing Brady, which now seems like the ultimate no-brainer, didn't totally feel that way then.
Greeny, that's exactly right. Look, I understand that revisionist history suggests that every team in the NFL, outside of maybe Kansas City and Green Bay, should have signed Tom Brady. But let's point out that there were several teams that were in the hunt and did back out. I'll point for a perfect example here. The Las Vegas Raiders. They were a team that was heavily interested in Brady. They were having internal discussions really up until the late stages. And they did back away, ultimately, from Brady. So, look, I'm not trying to say who Brady here is talking about, but there are teams that he certainly can look at the landscape in retrospect and say, certainly could have done some good for that team. But we should also point out the Tampa Bay Bucs from the very beginning. Now, mind you, they felt ready to move on from Jameis Winston. They felt like they didn't really want to pay him what he probably was going to covet for that fifth year. But look, they decided to move on. They went headfirst into Tom Brady. They never wavered. They never changed. They told him, we want you. Tom Brady loved that about the Tampa Bay Bucs. The rest, Greeny, is history.
There you go. That was Jeff Darlington on ESPN. We believe in Darlington. Boy, if it's Drew Brees that he's pointing the finger at. And now Jameis would be the one to go up against Brady after Brady took Jameis' job and put Jameis from wanting about $20 million a year to $1.1 million or whatever it is Jameis is making. It's quite the drama. Quite the drama. Do I owe Tannehill an apology? Before we get to the Saints on this, because clearly, apparently, this seems to be about the Saints. Do I owe Tannehill an apology for spending an hour on Monday assuming that Brady was talking about Tannehill and assuming that Brady thinks Tannehill stinks?
No! No, you absolutely do not. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL. If you can't take a little bit of criticism, then you should not be a starting quarterback.
I'm not saying that in terms of apology. I'm not afraid to apologize for criticizing somebody. I do wonder if when I am so hell-bent on pushing that narrative, because I believe it.
Yeah.
But I am so hell-bent on pushing that narrative, and then not one other person agrees with it, and then we find out that, no, I was wrong on it, then do I owe Brady the apology?
I don't know. I mean, even if slash and I, if we can assume that it was Drew Brees,
sure.
Now that we've confirmed, maybe, if you want to say, if we've confirmed that it wasn't him, then I think you still made a valid point. You know, Brady was in talks with the Titans until the very last stages. Brady was flirting with the Titans, with Mike Vrabel. It made sense. And, you know, no offense to Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. And if Tom Brady wants to look at Ryan Tannehill and say, oh, that guy, that's the guy you're going to take over me, he has every right to, because he did it to Drew Brees. And you could argue that Drew Brees has had more success in the NFL than Ryan Tannehill has. So, no, you don't owe him an apology. I think that you were doing your job, and I think that you had a valid argument.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Susie is up next on Jameis Winston. Thank you for calling the program. Go ahead, Susie.
It is about Jameis. I don't think Brady would crack on Brees, and I think if New Orleans was actually interested in Brady, it's because they thought Brees was going to move on to a broadcasting career. Jameis, I would believe Brady would make a comment about that, so I really do think it's him and not Brees. But now that you brought up, Jared, that you owe Tannehill an apology, I do think you do, because you wasted an hour of airtime speculating about something that probably wasn't even true. And it was just a waste of time, quite honestly. So now we're still talking about it, but I do have to say, because I'm listening to it, that I do think it was Jameis.
Thank you, Susie. I will not apologize for spending an hour gossiping about something like that. It's not. I have never apologized for gossiping in my life. Never. And let me say this. I think I've told you this now. I don't know. Uh-huh. But I've told my friends. Like, when I was in, like, middle school, I could not keep a secret. Like, I could not. And people would be like, hey, can you keep a secret? And I'd be like, look, I'd rather not. And I used to, like, get down on myself. Well, I say that now. I used to get down on myself because it's like, why can't you keep a secret? And it's because I am a gossip. So that's why I've gotten into professional gossiping about the two things I did as a kid. When I was in the seventh grade, the two things I did, I gossiped and I cared about the Titans. Now this is my job.
Yeah, I mean, that hasn't really changed.
So I'm not going to apologize about gossiping. Just whether or not my gossip was so misinformed, he certainly was talking about Jameis, because nobody picked Jameis. Nobody picked Jameis.
And why does Tom Brady really care about Jameis?
He doesn't. Jameis wasn't a starter.
Right.
He took Jameis' job. Let's go to Ellie, who's up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Ellie.
Yeah, I do agree to Saints, but I really think it would have been Taysom Hill, because that would insult Brady so much that he'd come out and say that.
But the Saints weren't going with Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback when Brady made his choice.
No, that was just the obvious choice it was going to be, because Brees had not made his decision yet. So Taysom Hill was going to be in line starting quarterback. They gave him all that money, and they're saying, no, we'll stick with what we have now. And that's what he's probably thinking about. It's like, hey, was that Taysom Hill that we're talking about? And he got insulted by that.
Because Taysom wasn't their starter. Thank you, Ellie. Taysom wasn't their starter. I mean, the line was, you're sticking with that mother? Like, you're sticking with. That's why we ruled out Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. Because, again, Brady said, you're sticking with, like, pointing the finger at, you're picking, you're staying with that guy.
Which means he was a starter.
That guy, I mean, it's like a...
And even if Drew Brees publicly had not made his decision to stay when Tom Brady made his decision, you can probably assume that the Saints front office knew what Drew Brees was doing. So just because we didn't know doesn't mean that the Saints front office didn't tell Tom Brady, hey, sorry, but we're sticking with Drew.
And I'd like to see the receipts on that, too.
Like, yeah, we can double check that.
When did Drew announce he was coming back for 2020? Because my guess is it happened before that. And I could be wrong. But it could. I think it was before that. I believe Brady. I always thought Brees was coming back in 2020. Like, when they lost to the Bucks this year, I'm like, he's not coming back.
Right.
That year, I definitely thought he was coming back. So, to me, if Jeff Darlington says it about Tom Brady, I believe it. So, if Darlington says it was the Saints, then I think it was the Saints. And I do think that is a wild dynamic. a wild dynamic that Brady would have looked like an idiot if they hadn't beaten him in the playoffs, because New Orleans smoked him in week one and they absolutely housed him on Sunday Night Football on November 8th, whatever week that was. And I only know it because it's the day after I moved into this house. So again, more power to you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Fitz will join us next. ESPN Radio, Jason Fitz will join us. We'll get his thoughts on this, I guess, as well as what is next for the NCAA. What is next? Is it over? Is it going to just change a little bit? What do we think? Jason Fitz joins us. 615-737-1025 is our phone number here on Stillman and Company. Let me tell everybody out there about Nashville Sounds Baseball. Tune into Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tonight, the Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:50. First pitch at 7:05. Sounds Baseball. It's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Kitchen. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company. And again, the Tom Brady gossip heard around the world. And I am not above talking about Tom Brady's gossip. And again, we don't even know exactly what he said because the HBO The Shop season premiere, whatever it is.
Just this new episode.
Drops Friday on HBO. I'm an HBO Max guy, so I'm sure at some point Friday I'll be able to stream it. But yes, it drops Friday on HBO, and Brady said somebody was a mother blank, and he was talking about a team that didn't pick him, and I assumed it was Tannehill. Carolina says that Jeff Darlington says it's the Saints. If Darlington says it's the Saints, I believe it's the Saints. But can Brady really feel that way about Breeze? Jason Fitz joins us now, ESPN Radio, brought to you by Blood Assurance. Give blood, give local, save lives. Fitz, I swore I thought it was Tannehill. Everybody else was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. We have a rule on the show. If Darlington says it about Brady, and if he says it's the Saints, I think it's the Saints. What do you make of it?
I mean, Darlington's always right. So, you know, the number of rumors that we've seen come out about Brady in the last 48 hours, like, Ian Rappaport was the one that was saying that at one point it looked like the Raiders were going to sign him and he was interested in Vegas, but Vegas wasn't interested in him. And I tried every possible insider I know anywhere to substantiate any of that. And I can't get anybody that's heard that. So I'm not sure why all these rumors are flying now, but. You know, also kudos to Tom Brady. I mean, he's found a way to make sure that we all want to, you know, come in and watch the show. So I'm sure he's going to go with somebody, but I can't imagine going to Brees. Like, I just, when you think about the derogatory, you're sticking with that guy, way he said that, the close-knit community of quarterbacks in the NFL, it's got to be a bum. Like, it's got to be somebody that we're going to roll our eyes at. So we'll see who that turns out to be. But I just can't imagine that Brady would throw Brees under the bus, for example.
So, I'm kind of torn because I definitely don't think it's Carr and the Raiders, though we brought up the idea of it being Carr and the Raiders. And this goes back to who you trust. I don't trust Ian Rappaport. Like, hey, Ian Rappaport makes a lot of money being an insider, whatever. I mean, we skunked Ian Rappaport, 2 weeks ago? Like, this show, I called Ian Rappaport. I'm like, hey, I think your Tannehill thing's incorrect. And then 2 hours later, he changed his Tannehill report. And I just look at who I trust. Because I'm with you, Fitz. I can't see him throwing Breeze under the bus. But at the same, and he's not. And the other thing about Brady, I don't think he's going to let you know who he's talking about when that show actually premieres. Like, he's not going to spill the beans on that. But I think this gives us an insight into Tom Brady that while I think that perhaps Brady maybe thinks Tannehill sucks, if he thinks Breeze sucks, then he thinks everybody sucks, just like Michael Jordan thought everybody sucks. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, you'd be right. I mean, if he's saying that about Breeze, then you understand that he lives in a different world, different spectrum than the rest of us. I wonder, though, if it's about the Saints, if he had maybe we get more of the conversation. I'm totally making this up off the top of my head. But sure. Maybe we get more of the conversation, find out that he thought Breeze was going to walk away and felt like they were deciding they were going to stick with, you know, like Jameis Winston or somebody like that. Like, now that I can understand, you know, Brady saying that guy, like, there are very few guys in the NFL that I think Brady can't necessarily roll his eyes at, and Breeze is on that list. No matter the Super Bowl quantities, Breeze the passer, Breeze the accomplished sort of icon of New Orleans. Like, those all things, those are all parts of the equation of why I just can't imagine him doing that to Brees. But if he does, then you're right. I mean, that is just a level of up yours that, you know, we haven't seen in a long time from a generational athlete.
How do you think, one thing that got me was nobody on ESPN, when they, and those guys have debated this just like we've debated this, not one guy, whether it was Tannenbaum, Damian Woody, Darlington, Graziano, Ryan Clark, Stephen A., not one guy has said Tannehill's name. I'm not sure what you guys have said. Somebody tweeted me and said that Keyshawn did bring up Tannehill. What do you think the league thinks of Ryan Tannehill? Other players think of Ryan Tannehill?
Well, I'm not sure that the league is necessarily enamored with Ryan Tannehill, but I know a lot of our guys are, right? Like, that's the one interesting thing. Like, if you talk to Field Gates, if you talk to Tannenbaum, you're talking about two guys that absolutely liked, I mean, I say liked, like really liked, like that eighth grade where you think you're in love, but you're not really in love, but you don't have the life experience to know it yet. Like, that level of like for Tannehill when he went to the Titans. And frankly, both of them were ones that even walking up and down the halls of Bristol were like, this Tannehill thing's going to work out really well. I'm telling you, like, he's got supporters. I think this comes back to the conversation we've had before that just makes so many Titans fans really, really angry. And I'm not saying it to troll anybody. I just don't think people have the Titans on the brain usually. And, you know, I don't know necessarily what fixes that easily. It's just, we live in a world where, frankly, let's go back to First Take. And I'll get in trouble for saying this, I'm sure, but I watched First Take the other day absolutely just, you know, poo-poo all over the cities left in the NBA finals, or semifinals, I should say, because nobody, air quotes, wants to go to Milwaukee. Like, I don't understand why there are certain cities and certain brands that that people just don't seem to care about or think aren't as good. And as hype as Nashville is as a city, you would think that Tennessee would get a little of that love. I just think when Tannehill's name is left out, it's not because people are anti-Tannehill. It's just because Tannehill's the, oh, yeah, guy for a lot of people. I don't know what changes that, but that's frankly where the Titans are usually as a brand when it comes to the conversation.
Jason Fitz is our guest. I want to pick up on what you said because I heard the same thing on First Take where Stephen A. was sitting there saying, like, oh, I hate having to go to Phoenix and I hate having to go to Milwaukee and I pray Atlanta beats Milwaukee because at least I can enjoy my time in the city, that kind of stuff. And I was thinking about the NBA today, and I don't know exactly, when I talk about you, Fitz, at ESPN, I don't know what you guys care about the most. LeBron James being in it or Kevin Durant at Brooklyn being in it would probably get the most viewers, and they're both out. I, though, love what we're seeing in the NBA right now, which is every game is down to the wire. You have no idea who's going to win. Who picked Phoenix to get out of the West? Seriously. Not that I watched it, you know, the regular season, things like that. I loved watching the Atlanta 76ers series. I loved watching the Milwaukee-Brooklyn series. I loved watching the Clippers and the Jazz. And now, I'm loving this. Last night's game was awesome. I mean, I know we can sit there and say, hey, it's not the stars, it's not LeBron, it's not Kevin Durant, it's not Kobe, it's not Michael, it's Trae Young. I get it. But I'm kind of glad we got some new stars. I'm kind of glad we got some new teams. I'm kind of glad we got some parity in the NBA.
I love it. I don't just like it. I mean, I absolutely, everything that we're seeing right now is what the NBA needed. Like, think about it. Usually right now in the playoffs, we're spending our time talking about the upcoming free agency and why it's going to make next year different. Usually right now, we would be so enamored with the teams that aren't in it that we'd be saying, okay, well, let's take a look at, you know, what are the Lakers going to do next year to fix the Lakers? We haven't really been able to dive into that the same way we usually would as a topic simply because we are seeing great games with great young stars. And frankly, I think this is a catapulting off postseason, I should say. I think this is the sort of postseason that turns Trae Young into a star that everybody's aware of. It turned last night's finish makes DeAndre Ayton a household name to people that don't even realize he was the number one overall pick because they don't follow the league, right? Like, I think there's these moments where Devin Booker doing what he's doing is good for the future of the game. Like, if this is the way that we have to get to the spot where we talk about more than two or three teams, I'm all in for it. Now, does it mean the ratings are going to be down? Probably. But does that mean that everything's broken? No. I think that you got to sometimes take a little step forward to take a step back to take a big step forward. And that's what we're ultimately going to see. Like, this is, at some point, LeBron will no longer be relevant. And when that happens, I don't want the NBA to be sitting here like golf, spending 5 years talking about how to replace Tiger. This is great for the league. And you're going to see people complain about the numbers, but I guarantee you it won't be people that are NBA heads that love covering the sport and that do a great job with it, especially for ESPN. Because every one of our NBA reporters that I've talked to have said, like, this is a delight. It's fun. It's different. It's amazing.
You know, onto that front, I look back at baseball in the 90s when I was a kid, and I felt like baseball had real stars. Like whether it was Sammy Sosa or Chipper Jones or Barry Bonds or Mike Piazza. Like those guys felt like real stars. Now, baseball has all-star games, and everybody will say that Mike Trout's a real star or that Bryce Harper's a real star, but I'm not sure that they really moved the needle of the American public. Do you think this next wave of NBA stars, the Devin Bookers, the Trey Youngs, that those guys move the needle or will move the needle? I mean, I heard Stephen A. say Devin Booker's the next Kobe Bryant. Kobe moved the needle. Do you buy into that?
Yeah. Look, I think that Stephen A. might be having a little bit too much of the juice right now, because I'm not going to put Kobe Bryant and Devin Booker's names in the same sentence right now. But ultimately, do I think they will move the needle? Yeah, I think so, because realistically, one thing that we do know is that the NBA is a highlight-driven league, and these guys are capable of giving us so many highlights, and they're capable of shooting from anywhere. Like, this is going to become, once the get-off-my-lawn, where's defense in the NBA guy goes away, what we're going to learn to appreciate is a group of guys that can shoot from so many different places and the speed and pacing of the game. I think the NBA is really, yes, looking at a series. And remember, we're talking about all these names in a playoff cycle that didn't include Zion, and Ja was barely in it. And those are two people that I think have the opportunity to be household names for the world to watch. So, yeah, I think the health of the NBA, when you start talking about sports that can look forward for the next 5 to 10 years and say, man, things are great, the NBA is in that situation. They just got to not screw it up, because kids love it. And we see these. Like, I tell you all the time, like SportsCenter on Snapchat averages about a couple of million viewers per day. And when we get those couple of million viewers, we can see literally the moment they are clicking through, we see everything they watch. If we play an NBA highlight on SportsCenter on Snapchat, a 13 to 24-year-old kid, which is our usual audience for that, is watching every second of it. The minute we go to the NFL, they are not. They click through it. So the youth will respond to the young people. So I think the youth movement in the NBA is going to be great for the game for the next generation.
Jason Fitz, our guest, ESPN Radio. Quickly, Fitz, because I know you're up against it, we're up against it, but what do you make of the Supreme Court's 9-0 ruling against the NCAA? I've heard it's the end of college sports as we know it. I've also heard they'll get it figured out. What do you make?
Yeah, I don't think it's somewhere in between. It's going to take a few years to get it figured out, but I think the biggest part of it is how sternly worded the opinions were. Like, Justice Kavanaugh's opinion made it very clear that they're leaving the door open to just continue kicking the NCAA's butt. So we are officially at that spot, Stillman, that you and I have talked about before, where if you're a college football fan and you hate change, get used to it. The game is going to look completely different in 18 months, I think. And through the process of that, it's just going to be about how everybody learns to navigate the new waters. I would hate to be a compliance officer in the current NCAA, because everything is changing by the minute, and I don't think that's going to stop at all. The 9-0 portion, harshly worded portion of it, tells me that this is just the beginning of the NCAA getting their butt kicked until they can get a solution.
Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, as always, joining us, brought to you by Blood Assurance. Give blood, give local, save lives. Fitzy, appreciate it. Take care. We'll talk next week.
You're the best, my friend. Thank you.
Yep, Jason Fitz joining us on the program. I will say this. I am getting into the NBA. Now, I've told you all how I watch the NBA, which is something that Fitz could never promote. Caroline, you know this because you live this life, but you could never promote, hey, just watch the fourth quarter. You could never do, like, if you were a national television host, mm-hmm. you could never get up there and say, hey, tune in with about 7 minutes to go.
No, because your paycheck comes from people watching those games.
There you go. But I can say it, and I am saying it. Tonight, I'll tune in to Atlanta-Philadelphia at some point in the fourth, or Philadelphia, Atlanta-Milwaukee at some point in the fourth quarter, and I bet it'll be great. Last night was great. I am enjoying this new blood of the NBA. this, not the same, not the same names, not the same crybabies, not the same teams, not, I am enjoying it this way. And I think it's good for the game.
And it feels overdue because, I mean, for as long as I can remember, there you've always had your powerhouses. First, it was the Cavs, and then it was the Warriors, and then now it's wherever LeBron is.
It's actually the Warriors before it was the Cavs.
It was the Warriors, like, what, 2019, 18, 17, 16?
No, Warriors won in 2015. Cavs won in 16. Warriors then got Durant, and then they just ruined the game.
It's been back and forth with the Warriors. My point is, it's the same teams. It's the same players. So it's a nice breath of fresh air.
Durant going to the Warriors ruined the game for about 5 years. And now it's finally back to where, like, it's real basketball. Now, agreed, you know, the defense, they could use a little bit more on defense. But it's now, it's interesting. It's not predictable. Mm-hmm. It's a much better game now. Headlines with Caroline next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 1025, the game. Stillman and Company. NBA basketball tonight. As I was just talking about, which I love the NBA. NBA basketball tonight.
You're a lifelong NBA fan, huh?
Well, I love the NBA.
It is fun, but I mean, I guess a new revived NBA fan, I guess we could say.
Sure, now that it's not predetermined. Nashville SC fans join ESPN 94.9 this Monday from 7 to 8 for NSC Backstage, featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Monday's special guest will be Nashville SC coach Gary Smith. Watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage, brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Report from Dan Graziano. He tweeted, I can confirm the report that the NFL will start accepting bids from other cities besides Indianapolis to host the scouting combine starting in 2023. Combine remains in Indianapolis for 2022. After that, up for grabs, a la the draft.
You know, I'm starting to feel like an old peepop because when I hear 2023, I'm like, okay, that's like 5 years away. No, it's not.
Like a year and a half.
Let me say this about the combine. A lot of people like to dump on Indianapolis. I've never been that guy. I'm fine with the combine in Indy. The one thing I don't like is that it's kind of cold. You know, like it's a little bit cold in Indianapolis, but it's easy for us to get to from here, which I like. And, you know, everything is right there in that downtown. And so I have no problem with Indianapolis. Like everyone says, oh, Indy so this, Indy so that. I have no problem with that. Boy, I got a lot of good memories at the Combine. Yeah, sure, fine. You know, the Combine's a big deal, but I think it's more of a TV show now than it is anything else.
And I think it's really just something to talk about. It's another thing for draft gurus to break down. No offense to the draft gurus at all. I mean, they do a great job. It's just something else.
So I don't think it's for the draft gurus. I think the biggest issue of the Combine, this is my take on it. Mm-hmm. ESPN pays the most money for NFL football, even though they get the worst national game. Mm-hmm. And the reason they do that is because they get all the highlight packages and all these other things included in their deal.
You think Monday Night Football is the worst national game?
Oh, yeah. What games do you think are worse? The 3:30 Sunday is better.
3:30 Sunday is better.
Sunday Night Football is better.
Yeah.
Thursday Night Football is normally better.
Thursday, I would say, would be the one.
Ian, Thursday night or Sunday night? Thursday night or Monday night?
I honestly kind of, oh man, they've gotten better with the Thursday night though, haven't they? It's gotten better. It used to be pretty rough. Man, that is tough. That is a toss up. I might lean slightly Thursday, I think.
I think Thursday is better. But again, ESPN gets all these highlights and stuff as part of the deal.
Right.
So what I think the Combine does from a media standpoint is I think the watching guys run the 40, like, I think that's good for TV. Like, they don't need to see all the other stuff because nobody cares about, like, the three-cone drill. But watching the guys run the 40, watching the quarterbacks throw, that's good for TV. The league owns the network. That's okay.
Right.
Everything else, though, because all those coaches and general managers speak at the combine and those players speak at the combine, There is so much to talk about. It's like the pre-free agency press conference for every coach and every general manager while you're at the draft. And I think that's a big part of the NFL to be talked about every single day of the week is to have that. So that's what I think is big about the Combine. I'm a big Combine fan. I think that the Combine probably should move around. I don't see why Indianapolis is God's gift to get to keep it. So I think the big keys for this are going to be accessibility downtown where everything's kind of in one area. I would hope that they would avoid the just frigid in March places. I don't need to go to Philadelphia for the Combine. And
bring it to Miami.
Miami's a pain in the butt. Like, put it in somewhere that's kind of fun to be and that's close to here. That's all I ask. What's next?
So, NCAA President Mark Emmert said today that the NCAA is working on interim rules that will allow college athletes to earn money off their name, image, and likeness. He said, we are focused on providing you additional guidance to make the introduction of the NIL era as smooth as possible. So, there are six states, Texas, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and New Mexico, that have laws set to go in effect on July 1, which would allow athletes to start making money off of third parties. So, sponsorship deals, deals on social media, endorsements, personal appearances. You know, you go to a training camp, you go to a little league thing, you sign some autographs, whatever. So athletes in those six states can start making money off of third parties, whether the NCAA is on board, have set their rules in place or not. July 1st is a week away. I mean, I don't really know exactly what this is going to look like. I don't know, especially given the new Supreme Court decision. The NCAA has a lot on their plate. So looking forward to seeing how that will all turn out. Will the NCAA beat these six states to it? It's going to be a lot that it's going to happen in the next week.
I would say, for my opinion on this, is that the NCAA, again, is reactive. They need to start being proactive.
Yeah.
And this is not being proactive. Mm-hmm. This is being reactive. Mm-hmm. The NCAA needs to figure out who to negotiate with to set up a union that will represent the players and get some deals hammered out now to increase the compensation, to share more of the pot with the players so that they don't have another Supreme Court case in which they get blasted 9-0 right in front of them. This is not that. Mark Emmert is the most reactive person in all of sports. And when he tries to be proactive, like re-upping the TV contract, he does it miserably. The truth is the guy's got to go. Mm-hmm. Mark Emmert has to go. And why the NCAA presidents that are a part of that committee that decides that he's the guy, why they love him so much, I have no idea. But it's embarrassing. And so, again, this is reactive. The NCAA needs to start being proactive, or else it's really going to fracture the sport if you don't get in charge right now and start leading the right way.
And whatever happens within the next week, Mark Emmert has come out and said these will not be permanent NIL changes. These will be temporary in order to bridge that gap whenever we can find permanent changes. But
kind of like the name of the Washington football team that was supposed to be a one-year thing. And now
it's just like going to be the name. I don't think they're going to change it. But I think that's going to be awfully confusing for these student athletes. Okay, now we have these temporary rules. Will they be permanent? What if I don't agree with them? I think that puts student athletes, I think that it puts schools, and I think that it puts the NCAA in an incredibly difficult position, having these temporary / permanent, you know, this is what we're thinking right now, but it could be subject to change. I think that's just a lot.
Mm-hmm. What's next?
So the 12-team college football playoff is taking that next step, according to Heather Dinich. The proposal for a 12-team college football playoff cleared another hurdle yesterday. 11 presidents and chancellors who have the ultimate authority over this, you know, this next step for the college football playoff will begin a summer review phase. So this is their official blessing to say, okay, now exactly what does it look like? So nothing is permanent. They're going to look into the 12-team college football playoff. Notre Dame president says that, you know, we're looking into exactly what it looks like. You know, TV deals, the schedule, teams, players negotiating, can they go home in between this gap? What is this going to look like? So, and they said nobody in the room, nobody of these 11 presidents and chancellors had a problem with the 12-team proposal, but they're going to look into the details and start kind of stifling that through. I hear them say it's going to be a long process. Don't expect changes to happen anytime soon. We have a lot of details to work out. I hear them. I believe them. It's going to be a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, it's done. It's done. I mean, like, let's just be real. It's done. Now it's all red tape. And this is another thing I hate about the NCAA. And this isn't even the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
But I just hate about college sports is it's like, let's drag out this long, arduous process when we all know what's going to happen.
Let's look, drag out this long process that won't go into effect in at least 2023. Let's look through the details. But
well,
it's
as
been,
we learned, 2023 is a lot closer than we think.
It is closer than we thought. But they keep mentioning how it's such a long process and how much they have so much to think through. But this process has been, what, 2 to 3 weeks?
Oh.
And we're already given the green light to figure out all the specifics?
It was a two-day process.
Yeah.
It was a two-day process, and it's over, and it will be 12 teams. Those are headlines with Caroline. I have another one, another headline. Tomorrow, 8:45 a.m., Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello will be on Robbie and Rex Road.
Woo-hoo.
So, again, tomorrow, 8:45, Tony Vitello on with Robbie and Rex Road. Speaking of the University of Tennessee, now that we know the NCAA is all kinds of screwed up. And we know
that
Tennessee, well, we now know that it's official.
You know, now
we know that the people who are in the most power now all think that.
Yes.
Now that we know that, we know the University of Tennessee's got their problems. I wonder if it's time to be a little bit more proactive if I'm Danny White. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.